That is the Dixie Chicks' 2002 hit, Travelin' Soldier. It came out at the height of the country group's fame. But then, at a 2003 concert in London, it all turned around. It was the lead-up to the Iraq War, and lead singer Natalie Maines told the crowd, "We do not want this war, this violence, and we're ashamed that the President of the United States is from Texas."
Within 2 weeks, maybe, they went from being one of country music's real superstars. I mean, they were an A-lister, and they had just been on Saturday Night Live. They had the number one song in country, the number one album, and within 2 weeks, you couldn't find their music on the radio anywhere. It was far worse than that. People were smashing CDs and holding all sorts of rallies, and it was pretty ugly.
That's Billy Dukes. He's a country music writer and reporter for The Taste of Country in Nashville. And he says for a long time after that, the Dixie Chicks became a sort of cautionary tale in country music. The country music airwaves for a long time since have been dominated by what you might call bro country. You know, pickup trucks and whiskey and fried chicken and girls in cutoff shorts. But as a country music song might say, oh, how the times have changed. Bro country is out. And as The Economy recently referred to it, woke country is in. That means we're seeing some of the top artists in country music going against some of those traditional country values, speaking out for LGBTQ rights and even for gun control. Here's more on this from Billy Dukes.
The bro country sound, I think, did really kind of die off, and it happened pretty suddenly. Maddie and Tay released a song called Girl in a Country Song that I think kind of spelled the end of bro country in large part. 'Cause I got a name, and to you it ain't. That happened, and then country music started to really kind of adopt more of a pop feel to it, mm-hmm. attract more of a pop audience. And I think in a lot of ways that sort of reverse engineered this idea of woke country, where we're bringing in a pop audience who maybe didn't adhere to these strict conservative values that the traditional country audience had. Well, all of a sudden music started to be made for that audience, and then maybe some artists who were maybe not quite as prominently featured started to become a little bit more popular because there was more people from a pop audience or other genres coming to our format to look for that.
So you do think it's about the fan base? Like, are we losing kind of traditional Toby Keith fans and gaining pop music fans, or is this bringing in like broadening the tent, I guess?
Well, it's making the conversation a lot louder. I think it is broadening the tent, but the traditionalists, the people who like your traditional country music and the Toby Keith, you know, they don't always appreciate the more pop-friendly sounds of an artist like a Sam Hunt or Taylor Swift certainly fell under that umbrella for a long time.
Yeah.
Florida Georgia Line, Kane Brown, those kind of artists. There's certainly a collision there that sometimes can spill over.
So let's talk about what country radio sounds like right now, right? So we're seeing this with women, with the rise of the Me Too movement, but also LGBTQ rights, right? Where are we hearing that?
Luke Bryant certainly promoted equality in one of his latest hits, Follow Your Arrow from Casey Musgraves. That was a song from 2013 mm-hmm. that certainly hit those themes. You don't, so you might as well just do whatever you want. So make lots of noise. They're kind of few and far between, I think. If you look on like album cuts, you know, some of your favorite artists might have album cuts that might go a little bit deeper, but mm-hmm. a lot of times those songs aren't chosen for radio singles. It's
yeah.
still some of the safer material that gets pushed out to radio.
Yeah, and this is also guns at this point too. Like, there's gun control advocacy now
yeah.
in country music, which is even more surprising, I would say.
Yeah, and that's a really kind of a complicated topic because, you know, I think a lot of people wonder why country artists don't speak out a little bit more about gun control, especially after the Route 91 shooting in Las Vegas.
Yeah.
But you have artists who are in favor of stricter gun control, but they're also gun owners. Tyler mm-hmm. Hubbard from Florida Georgia Line is one example who comes to mind. He was on social media within the last several months talking about the need for increased gun control. Like, he also admitted he's a gun owner, and that kind of is inherently a little conflicted. And if you only get like a little soundbite to talk about it, you might not come off exactly how you want to come off, or you might not get your message across. It could be a little bit difficult for an artist to speak up. And I think for those reasons, maybe artists just choose not to.
So it sounds like a lot of this exists in country music, and there has been a vein of country music that maybe has been less traditional for a long time, but that there are gatekeepers, right? Like the top 100 country music charts might be a little different. How does that work in country radio? Like, who decides what songs make it onto the radio?
Ultimately, an artist's label, along with that artist's management, will choose the radio single. They'll be listening to a lot of factors. They'll see reaction from an audience at a live show. They'll take songs to different radio programmers and get some feedback there. They might release it digitally. You might could try a song at satellite radio or at on a streaming service and see how things do there.
Yeah. I read an article or two after the Grammys last week about Kacey Musgraves, right? And about how she has not had a lot of success on country radio, even though she just took home the biggest awards at the Grammys, including Best Country Album. Why is that? Like, is there a sort of inherent tension between critically acclaimed country music that might be more liberal and then what makes it onto the radio airwaves?
There's this kind of thing that people sometimes say that an artist or a song could be too good for the radio. And that's kind of a concept that's difficult to wrap your head around. But it's the case sometimes. An artist like Kacey Musgraves and another artist that's a favorite of mine named Ashley Monroe kind of falls under that umbrella. And kind of what that means is that their songs are really, really well written. Maybe it takes a little bit more in-depth thought to appreciate the songwriting and the kind of slow melodies. Radio, a lot of times they choose singles. They want you to keep listening, and not tune out, as opposed to finding songs to play that will drive tune in. So it's not necessarily about finding the best songs. It's about finding the songs that are going to not lose the most listeners, if that makes sense.
Sure. Yeah, that makes sense.
It's a little bit of a backward system. So you get an artist like Kacey Musgraves, and her songs are really smart and they're really well written. They're not always extremely hooky. They're not always simple. So sometimes that's just sort of a tough fit.
So that must be changing though too, right? As streaming, like you mentioned, becomes more and more the way that people get their music. Like, is the changing landscape of how we consume music changing this conversation as well in terms of who becomes popular?
I think it definitely is, but it's happening slowly. In country music, we tend to be a little bit behind trends in terms of technology. We're still a CD buying audience. So streaming does matter, but people are still going to their radio, and artists are still going to radio, frankly, to promote their albums. Artists will go to the major radio conglomerates and do one interview with the syndicated morning show, and that'll cover, maybe 100 stations, 200 stations across the country.
Yeah.
You can't really do that on a streaming platform.
Do you think that this has been a part of country music for a long time? It's just not the most popular part?
Oh, for sure. I mean, if you look back at Loretta Lynn and Dolly Parton, I mean, they were woke, if you will.
Right.
They might not have said it, but they certainly were creating songs and making statements. If anything, it was more a part of country music back in the 60s and 70s. Country artists aren't, as a whole, aren't really a conservative group. I think it's a fairly good mix. In fact, I think you'll find a lot of liberal points of view when it comes to issues like we're talking about equality, LGBT,
Yeah.
and gun control. So it's just a matter of some of those messages finally having a little bit more of a chance to get through in some different ways, like streaming and then also on radio.
All right. That's Billy Dukes. He's a country music writer and reporter for The Taste of Country. Billy, thank you so much for joining us.
Yeah, no problem.